You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Well, the Senate Judiciary Committee today, on October 22nd, 2020, advanced Supreme Court nomination of Judge Amy Coney Barrett. No Democrats showed up. They decided they would boycott the hearing. So it passed out of the Judiciary Committee 12 to nothing. Now it goes to the floor of the Senate, and she should be confirmed by the full Senate before Election Day. There's a story that broke yesterday. The mainstream media just again looked away. And you would think the mainstream media, with all of its concern about Russian interference in our elections, would have been right front and center. But no, they ignored it. I'm talking about Director of National Intel, John Ratcliffe, holding a news conference, stating that Iran and Russia have obtained voter registration information that can be used, quote, to attempt to communicate false information to registered voters that they hope will cause confusion, sow chaos, undermine your confidence in American democracy. He added that Iran has sent spoofed emails designed to intimidate voters, incite social unrest, and damage President Trump. So you see why the mainstream media didn't show up. They're all about Russian interference helping Trump get elected. Well, all this says is that was underway now, recently, to actually hurt Biden and help Trump? Is that what they're trying to say? The mainstream media doesn't want anything that will bring attention to Trump not doing something wrong. So they looked away again. Fox News reporting Hunter Biden's laptop seized by law enforcement officials last year was originally seized by the FBI, not so much for the emails that have now surfaced, but because they were investigating money laundering charges. That Hunter Biden was hiding money and laundering it on behalf of maybe foreign countries such as Ukraine, China, and maybe to see if Joe Biden is tied into that same activity. In the meantime, a guy who identifies himself as a former Biden insider, Tony Bobulinski, said, I was part of a group that worked with a Chinese operating firm and the Biden family. I was part of that partnership. And he says that Hunter Biden brought him on as CEO, and he knows that some of the emails that have already been published are absolutely true. And he says in those emails, it is confirmed and genuine that H, the H for the big guy, noted by Hunter Biden, is referenced, the big guy being Joe Biden. And there's another email that surfaced where apparently Hunter was saying, my chairman of my board wants more, or something of that effect. The chairman of the board would be, again, apparently, Joe Biden. That should be a topic tonight at the debate. Will it or will it not? In the meantime, the Senate Judiciary Committee has voted to authorize subpoenas for Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey to testify. 12 Republicans voting to authorize that. 10 Democrats, of course, were sitting out. Senator Cruz says, I don't care how we get them in front of us. I want them in front of us to answer questions. You're going to hear from Senator Cruz a little bit later in the same hour. New polls out, these released by Fox News, indicating the presidential race has shifted in recent days. Now it shows Trump leading in Ohio, a tight race in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. In the meantime, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on MSNBC made her bold prediction. She said that she expects her party to pull off a full sweep, not only get the White House and hold the House, but they get the Senate as well. That's what Pelosi is saying. President Trump, in a rally last night, ridiculing cable news media in North Carolina for focusing so much on the coronavirus pandemic. He said, you know, this is all fake news all the time. On CNN, you hear COVID, 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 COVID. That's pretty much right, correct? And Obama came out last night to his first campaign stump for Joe Biden, standing on a stage in the middle of an arena and surrounded by cars. It was not a very engaging, an engaging speech. But that's what they're doing.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now, that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first, you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Tonight, we are going to witness the most anticipated match in the history. Are you ready?
Yes, tonight, the final rumble between Biden and Trump on the debate stage. Michael Buffer with his usual rallying, let's get ready to rumble. Now, what should we expect out of this final debate? First of all, they are talking about the plan, and Trump doesn't like it, that when it's a candidate's time to speak uninterrupted for 2 minutes, they will mute the mic of the other person. So if Biden tries to interrupt Trump, it also goes that way, you know, because Biden was also interrupting Trump. You might hear him off mic a little bit, hey, I'm trying to say something. And the same for Trump. But you will probably hear Trump a little louder, because if he knows his mic's off, he'll probably get louder. And Trump is fearful that they were really going to use this to help Biden. I think it probably is true, because if Biden says something that should be challenged on the spot, Trump will have to wait and then try to revisit it. But when they're actually having, quote, a discussion, then they will have both mics open. And we'll see what kind of discussion or shouting match takes place. I do think Trump needs to do better this time around. I truly do. He did not do that great in the first one, neither one. I mean, look at, nobody got anything out of it. It was a total train wreck. But there are several issues that also should be addressed in this debate. One of the most pressing right now is the Hunter emails, as documented by the New York Post and now Wall Street Journal acknowledging it's got an investigative report underway on the same thing. If that moderator does not raise a question about that, then Trump should and will have to. You cannot have that without it. In the very day they first broke of the New York Post was a town hall on hosted by ABC with George Stephanopoulos moderating with Joe Biden, and he did not ask a single question that evening. And the story broke many hours earlier, much earlier in the day. And Stephanopoulos never even raised a question just to at least give Joe a chance to say, it's baloney, it's bull, and let's move on. He didn't want to touch it. It's got to be dealt with tonight. What else has to happen? Let me read you a column presented by Victor Hansen of the National Review. Got some interesting points in here. In his column, How Trump Should Approach the Final Debate, he said the so-called mainstream polls of the swing states show the race narrowing, and if the trend continues at the current rate, Trump could poll even in 2 weeks. In addition to other polls that show him there already, or near there. So he writes that Trump's mission at this final debate on Thursday is to continue to accelerate his momentum, not take risk to melt Joe Biden with verbal fireworks. And he points out that every 10 days, the campaign starts anew. Trump's rallies are back. He miraculously beat COVID-19 in near record time. Judge Barrett proved stellar. If most voters poll that they're better off than 4 years ago, they think Trump will win. It's increasingly difficult to believe the disconnect. They are intent on voting against someone who will win and would likely make things better for them. He goes on to say that no one has quite figured out how to calibrate the data on early voting. The Republican surge in swing state registrations, the effect of the nation's largest campuses, mostly in swing states, being either closed down or at least not fully open on Election Day, all because of COVID. And he points out in his article that Biden is still running a virtual campaign in fear of the virus, in fear of questions about Hunter Biden, his suspected intent to pack the court or stop fracking, fear of almost anything. Where he says Trump took risk along with 100 million Americans who feed, fuel, and make things for Americans. You can no more run a campaign from the basement than you could a presidency or our country. And he also pointed out this new debate rule that I suggested a moment ago, to silence a candidate's microphone to ensure his rival can give 2 minutes of opening remarks without interruption. And at the beginning of each 15-minute segment, he said it could ironically prove to Trump's advantage. Here's how. He says often when Biden speaks for longer than 90 seconds without interruption, he tends either to say the most astounding things or nothing much at all. I was saying that last time. Trump, just be silent. Let Biden hang himself. Just let him sit there and blow in the wind. See, this is where some of the mainstream media was saying, oh, Joe Biden is more than capable of debating Trump. And they say, look at how he did against his Democrat candidates in the primary. Well, in the Democrat primary, he was never on the stage one-on-one with any of them. It was one against many. And he had time to collect thoughts, form an opinion, or make a statement, or even say that he did sometime, well, I'm taking too much time, I'll let someone else talk. When he knew, I don't have anything else to say. Well, last night, Obama hit the campaign trail for Biden. The first time he's come out and done this. The first time. And because of COVID, it wasn't a big rally like you would need. They did it in the middle of a sports arena. And you basically had cars, minimum of 300, let's say 300 cars. Some have said above 200, 280, but let's say 300. No more than four people to a car. So 1,200 in their cars, listening either on a radio channel that was designated for the speech or big boom boxes. While Obama tried to sell the fact that this is a rally cry. This is our rally cry.
We cannot afford four more years of this, Philadelphia. But the good news is, right now you can choose change. Right now you can vote for my friend Joe Biden and his running mate, Kamala Harris, as the next president and vice president of the United States of America.
Yeah, that was rousing, wasn't it? You could hear the people yelling a little bit with their windows down. I don't know if they had to sit in their cars with their COVID mask on. Obama didn't have one on, but no one was on top of him. However, Biden got elected and had a national mask mandate, which he stated again the other day that, yeah, I would put in effect a national mask mandate. Obama would have had to stand there with a mask on, even though no one's near him. And, of course, Obama went after how this pandemic has been, quote, not handled by Trump. Once again, they're selling the story that more than 200,000 plus deaths are all on Trump's hands. Oh, no. Don't talk about the deaths in New York State, because by order of the governor, COVID positive patients were placed into nursing homes, basically putting them into a petri dish filled with cultures that were going to kill them. Don't mention that. Also, don't mention how various states insisted that everything's good and we're going to do what we want because Trump is wrong. And also the states like California and New York State say even if we get a vaccine and it comes to the Trump administration, we're not going to approve it till we look at it separately. But the pandemic has also given Joe Biden a cause to hide out in the basement. He has spent supposedly all this week preparing for this debate tonight. And while Obama was out for the first time campaigning for him, the first time, and he also pointed out, he said, you should be at a big rally, not sitting in your cars. If Trump had handled the pandemic properly, we'd be past it. Really? Really? He said, if you're better off now than you were 4 years ago, well, 4 years ago, you'd be sitting here having a good time, not sitting hiding in your cars. Well, yeah, a lot of things changed when the pandemic hit. And they still want to blame Trump. And they still insist, we have a plan, and it's nothing more than talk. And on top of that, they got the mainstream media to help carry the water for them that you have to live in fear. You have to live in fear. The very fact that Trump, when he finished his treatment at Walter Reed, saying, you should not live in fear of this thing. Immediately the mainstream media say, he's saying it's nothing to worry about. No, he didn't say that. He said, you don't have to live in fear. But he hit on a point in his, he was appearing last night in North Carolina in the midst of a large rally. And he hit again on the point that the mainstream media and the Democrats want you to cower in your basement like Joe Biden has been doing.
That pandemic is rounding the corner. They hate it when I say it. You know, you turn on to this MSDNC and fake news CNN, all you hear is COVID, 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 COVID. That's all they put on because they want to scare the hell out of everyone. Normal life will fully resume, and next year will be the greatest economic year in the history of our country. That's where we're headed.
I think many Americans believe that. They know how the economy was rocketing forward until we got hit by COVID. And maybe some of the closures and restrictions put in place originally were necessary at that time, but we reached a point now where, okay, we're moving past it. Let's go to the next level. And yet last night, for this first appearance for Obama to come out on behalf of Biden, he had to do it on a stage surrounded by cars. Here's the way Andrea Mitchell reported it.
The strategy is to use the surrogates, President Obama, and to be working on the debate prep and also to have socially distanced events, not big rallies. And that's what Barack Obama did here tonight. He had 278 cars, we're told, with four people max per car. So they don't have a head count, they have a car count. And here we are in the parking lot of the, you know, sports arena out in South Philly. And that is the way they're having the largest event that they have.
Yeah, that's it. So 4 times 300, that's 1,200 maximum. That's the biggest event they're having. And Joe Biden from his basement last night sent out a tweet describing America in a past tense. I want you to hear what he had to say.
America was an idea, an idea. We hold these truths to be self-evident. We've never lived up to it, but we've never walked away from it before. And I just think we have to be more honest and let our kids know as we raise them what actually did happen. Acknowledge our mistakes. so we don't repeat them.
Joe Biden saying that America was an idea. Past tense. That's the guy who wants to lead our country. And say it was an idea. And he said we've never lived up to it. Really? How many of you think this country has not lived up to what the idea was? Do we want to do more? Yes. But then he insists, I think we need to be more honest, let our kids know as we raise them, acknowledge our mistakes so we don't repeat them. I have no problem with that. But when you sit there and tell me America was an idea, we never lived up to it, I don't get the fact that you know how to lead this country. I don't get the fact that you believe in this country. I don't get the fact that you can help us go forward. Absolutely emphasizing that America was an idea and we never lived up to it. As Trump has said, the Democrat Party is ashamed of America. The Republican Party is proud of America, and that's a big difference. Absolutely. Are you ashamed of this country? Are you proud of it? You want things to get better and change some things? Sure. But in the final cut, are you ashamed or proud? You see America was just an idea that we didn't live up to? Let me tell you how the Latinos might vote coming up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
One of the things that Democrats have really pushed hard was immigration, illegal immigration, and saying Trump is against immigration. They leave out the word illegal when they say it like that. They don't want you to know we're talking about illegal immigration. Trump is just against immigration. And he's against brown people. He fears brown people. Remember the statements he made during the 2016 campaign and talking about the Mexico is sending some of its bad people here, rapists and thugs and burglaries, and in fact they did. Mexico was more than glad to let them. Were there, in the midst of them, were there some people that just came here trying to better their lives and maybe send money back to help their family? Yes, there were. Did everybody come across the border illegally, commit crimes? No, but many have. And many continue to stay here because of sanctuary state policies as the Democrats coddle up with illegals and push the illegal immigration issue as a plus to win the Latino vote. There was an exit poll that said in the 2016 vote that Trump would get 29% of Latinos. A group called Latino Decision says that you should view with extreme skepticism. In other words, didn't believe it. Well, what did happen? Trump won 29% of the Latino vote. 29%. According to the national exit polls. And he outperformed the polling, which had put him at 20%. 9 points more. Now, this time they expect even more. Why? Because he's been campaigning, taking part in Latino rallies and Latinos for Trump in Arizona, Florida, Nevada, California, and elsewhere. The New York Times today, in their daily report that I pick up, written by their columnist, saying, here's what you need to know today, talked about the Latino gender gap. And he's talking about how Trump is not doing a good job on many levels. And in fact, he quotes David Wasserman of the Cook Political Report saying that Trump's strategies have jeopardized the Republican Senate majority. Will probably lead to further Democrat gains in the House as well. With one exception, that Trump and other Republicans don't seem to be doing worse with Latinos. Nationwide, the polls show now, instead of 29%, Republicans winning about a third of the Latino vote, making a good chance Trump can still win Florida and Texas based on the Latino vote. They do break out, showing that among the battleground states, the gender gap among Latino votes is significantly larger than among black, white, or Asian voters. They're pointing out that, in their opinion, that Trump has a great appeal to men, Latino men. They like his macho appearance and approach, where many Latino women don't. And yet, the trend shows he's picking up more Latinos, both men and women. We've already talked about it. He's also gaining in the black vote. Latinos and the black vote, the ones, the very ones that Democrats count on to shore them up and give them support, seems to be evaporating. They'll be at the polls, but they will not be casting ballots for the Biden ticket. We'll take a break when we come back. Senator Ted Cruz, as he appeared yesterday on an interview talking about, we need big tech in front of us to explain how they decided they could censor the New York Post, a major publication, as it broke the story about Hunter Biden emails. The Hunter Biden email story and more still to come. Please stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
In any ordinary universe, this is a major, major story. But then big tech stepped in and they did something they've never done before. We know that big tech has been censoring individual conservatives, trying to suppress conservative speech.
Mm-hmm.
But the step they took here is they blocked, if any individual user tried to share either of the New York Post stories, you were blocked. You got a warning sign that said, no, you can't block this because this story is, quote, potentially harmful. Well, perhaps politically to Biden, but sharing a news story from a major media outlet is as part of democracy, part of free speech. And not only that, they blocked the New York Post itself. Right now today, the New York Post is not being allowed to post its own damn stories on corruption. And this is ridiculous.
That is Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, as he appeared on Glenn Beck's program yesterday, right after this program. But I want to break down that interview in more detail. You heard him say it was ridiculous. He said, in an ordinary universe, this is a major story. What the New York Post came out with, saying we have a laptop that belonged to Hunter Biden, and we have emails off of it, and here's what they show. They show connections and talk about payments and money and identifying someone as getting money identified only as H or the big guy. And now we've got an insider coming forward who says, I was part of the deal with Hunter Biden and others in a partnership with a Chinese operating group, with the chairman of that Chinese group and the Biden family, and said, I was brought on as a CEO by Hunter Biden, and he was listed as a sender of one of the emails that's been brought out. And he says the reference to the big guy is, in fact, a reference to Joe Biden. 10 held by H, that'd be Hunter, for the big guy is Joe Biden. And he also said, in a sworn affidavit he released, I've seen Vice President Biden saying he never talked to Hunter about his business. I've seen firsthand that's not true, because it wasn't just Hunter's business. They said they were putting the Biden family name and its legacy on the line. Now, I want to get into that in more detail in a moment, but that's just another source. But he was apparently one of the recipients and a sender as well, and an email that the New York Post was breaking, confirming the email is genuine. But you heard Senator Cruz saying, as of yesterday, the New York Post still could not put the story up. And mainstream media, Twitter and Facebook, continue to hold it back and say it has not been fact-checked, so we're not going to do anything about it. Let's talk about this fact-checking thing for a moment. When it gets into disinformation, as they're claiming. You have to ask, then, why this big tech, Facebook and Twitter and others, allowed this to go? Twitter did not act on a viral message posted on its platform that had a doctored image purporting to be a text message between Rudy Giuliani and Ivanka Trump. Now, Rachel Maddow and several Twitter-verified leftists spread that same image. They thought it was real. They thought it was a true story, so they put it out. With the original sender identifying himself as a student Democrat activist, Nick Roberts, had claimed to have successfully fooled Rudy Giuliani, that he tricked him into thinking texts from him were, in fact, from Ivanka Trump. Twitter, once he even came forward and said it was parody, not true, still didn't take it down. Still didn't take it down. Did not stop it being spread by MSNBC host Rachel Maddow, our political contributing editor, or an expert at the Center for American Progress, and others. They let it stay up. They did not do anything. They didn't penalize. They didn't lock it. They did nothing. And yet they locked down the New York Post, one of the first newspapers established in our nation, locked them down because of what they considered maybe a fictional and unverified, undocumented story about emails involving Hunter Biden and possibly the Joe Biden family. We know the hypocrisy is there. We know the hypocrisy is there. So Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee did vote to authorize subpoenas for Zuckerberg and Dorsey to testify next week now. I was thinking they're going to actually have it happen today, but they decided that they would have them come forward, and they've authorized subpoenas if they have to use subpoenas. But maybe they'll decide to come voluntarily, so it might look like they are doing so for the full disclosure. Right, full disclosure. But Senator Cruz says, we still, when you start looking at this story and how it's been handled, look to the Biden family. What is the Biden family, the Biden campaign, saying about these emails and texts from the Post that Twitter and Facebook claim are false or misleading or inaccurate?
Joe Biden has not denied this is Hunter Biden's computer. He has not denied the emails are real. He has not denied that he met personally with the Ukrainian oligarch after lying to the American people and saying that he didn't. He has not denied that Communist China offered him personally millions of dollars.
Has not denied. He's been asked twice that we know of. A CBS reporter asked him the other day, and Biden's response quickly was, you know, there you go, that's right down your alley. In other words, it's all fake. I'm not going to bother. He got asked again in an interview with a Milwaukee TV station, referencing that Senator Johnson of Wisconsin, who's with the Homeland Security, wanted to investigate it, and he'd put out a statement that Hunter Biden, in that emails, along with the other Biden family members, were profiting off the Biden name. And the reporter asked Biden, via his basement video hookup, is there any legitimacy to the claim? And Biden's response, no, none whatsoever. Same garbage Rudy Giuliani, Trump's henchman, a last-ditch effort in this desperate campaign to smear me and my family. No basis at all. Senator Ron Johnson should be ashamed of himself. Right, okay. But as Cruz said, Biden still has not officially condemned it and said that the emails don't exist and that it was Hunter's computer. And now we have, coming forward, a guy who identifies himself as the CEO of a holding company, which he said was a partnership between a Chinese operation group, between them and the Biden family, that Hunter Biden brought him on as CEO, Tony Bobulinski. And he has since released a statement. Verified, he said, it is true that I have, in fact, been witnessing to some things, and this guy's a whistleblower. He issued a public statement last evening backing up the reporting of the New York Post from earlier last week. And he said, I personally witnessed VP, former VP Joe Biden, at that time was VP, discussing business deals with his son, Hunter Biden. Have you seen that story on the mainstream media? The answer is no. Will you see it on the mainstream media? The answer is no. Will you see it on Facebook or Twitter? No, I wouldn't expect that. So the cover-up apparently will continue. They will try to keep it under wraps all the way to the election. The American people are smarter than that. I don't care if you're a Biden supporter. How can you ignore this information that's coming out? Don't you want to hear something specific from your candidate? Will that be raised tonight by the moderator at this final debate? Or will she just kind of look away? As George Stephanopoulos did on the very night they had a town hall meeting with Biden, and the story broke in the New York Post. He did not mention it one time, not in any fashion. Maybe Trump will bring it up tonight. I hope he does. But you can expect for Biden to be ready and say, well, you know, we hear that you have a bank account with China that you never have reported. Yeah, that's another story that's now surfaced. It's tit for tat. You got something on Biden's with China? Let's find something on Trump. And that story, by the way, mainstream media has had no problem putting out on Tweet Machine because they are letting it happen. Are we going to get a final answer from the heads of the CEOs of Twitter, Facebook, and others? Here's Senator Cruz.
Jack Dorsey and Mark Zuckerberg are both going to testify. They're going to testify in person. They're going to testify before Election Day. That's what I think should happen. That's what I am fighting vociferously to make happen. Right now, the companies are negotiating with the chairman's office to discuss terms to come voluntarily. I don't really give a damn whether they come voluntarily or under subpoena. They need to testify in person and answer questions for the American people about why they are trying to steal this election, to suppress the free speech, and to censor the press.
That, again, part of Senator Cruz's interview with Glenn Beck on his program last night, or yesterday, I should say, which follows our program. But I wanted to break it down in case you did miss the Glenn Beck program. He says they're going to testify. They say they want to come voluntarily, fine, but we have subpoenas ready if we need to exercise them. And here's the other thing being ignored by mainstream media right now. According to Fox News, Hunter Biden's laptop was apparently seized by the FBI last year, not for the emails and the Biden connection with Ukraine specifically, but an investigation into money laundering. In other words, you got all this money from Ukraine, Burisma, and you didn't report it, or maybe you've been hiding it, running in some other sources. We're going to have to get to the bottom of that as well. So coming up, more efforts to protect legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin for exposing himself. What's the latest excuse? Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So the story about Jeffrey Toobin and exposing himself on a Zoom call with colleagues the other day, and I don't mean that he just came back from a break and had forgotten to zip up after going to the restroom. He had intentionally unzipped, pulled his pants down, and had his, let's be clinical, had his penis in his hand, and clinically he was masturbating. And they saw it. And he works also for the New Yorker as a correspondent. Well, they have suspended him pending, quote, an investigation. I don't know, what are you going to investigate? Everybody saw it's right there. It's been documented. And CNN, of course, he's a legal analyst for CNN, and they were certainly counting on using him, reference tonight's debate, and going forward with the election. Jeffrey Toobin, a star of CNN, bringing the legal voice in every time. CNN has no comment so far. They don't say there's an investigation. They're just not commenting. They're not saying what's going to happen at this point. But again, the New Yorker has said, we are suspending him pending an investigation. What investigation? And the cover-up and the various media stepping forward to help protect them. Unbelievable, and yet not so unbelievable. The Toronto Star columnist wrote that, I'm reading the copy, keep in mind, I'm reading what they wrote in the Toronto Star. Don't blame me, don't shoot the messenger, I'm just reading what the columnist said. That Toobin, quote, didn't cover himself in glory or regrettably anything else in that fateful Zoom call. But CNN and his country need him. They need him? Are you kidding? We had to have CNN? We had to have Jeffrey Toobin? The country needs him? So the Toronto Star columnist continued saying, look, I do not want to minimize any possible trauma experienced by anyone on that video chat. But we need to keep perspective. We need to see the big picture. I think they saw the big picture. And he adds, granted, there are a few things more unprofessional than, his words again, masturbating during a company meeting. He says, Toobin is a lawyer. His judgment is now suspect. Yeah, I would guess so. He said, I get it. All I'm saying is we need to forget this ever happened. Block it out. Well, of course that's what they want. Just forget it happened. Jeffrey hopes you can forget it. He wants to go back a week from right now, a week ago today, when he hadn't done it yet, so it wouldn't happen. And this columnist is urging the New Yorker to end the investigation and for CNN to rescind his leave of absence. Yeah, they have said he's on a leave of absence, but they're not saying anything other than that. But this columnist insists, I don't care if Jeffrey Toobin has demons. I don't care if he's a weirdo or a pervert. I don't care if he fondles himself 20 times a day wearing a sun hat listening to Mozart. What I care about is his brain and his analytical skills. Well, I would say his brain and his skills are lacking. But the columnist insists he made an embarrassing, stupid mistake. Let's leave it at that and get on with saving America. Are you kidding me? A Canadian commentator in Toronto says he can help save America. We need him and his brains. You want somebody that has so little brains that they do that on camera? They don't close the computer down. They don't cover it. And his excuse was, well, I didn't know I could be seen. You're an idiot. You're an idiot. The New York Daily News also tried to downplay it, insisting American society has a collective unease with, clinical term again, masturbation. Went on to say, we Americans love to talking about sex, but one topic is taboo and that's it. Pointing out that a 2016 survey, 95% of men, 81% of women in America have done it and continue doing it. They're saying it's a newsflash that he does it. He said we should stop making fun of Jeffrey Toobin. Not so much making fun of him as saying, I question his judgment. This is a guy that CNN put so much money into as their legal analyst, they should question it. And then BuzzFeed comes out and says, well, you know, we've all been quarantined living. The senior culture writer said, we've almost finished our seventh month of quarantine. Haven't we all done something on a work call that in normal circumstances we'd never do in a meeting? Let he without sin cast the first stone. Endless knacks without judgment, cigarette breaks at your leisure, Real Housewives, all GD day. And you also not just have liberal outlets. The National Review had a piece accusing Usual Howler monkeys, calling for his firing, not because of what he did, but because they hate him. He's a Democrat-aligned media mouth hole, as they said. The Federalist publisher said, those who are looking at Toobin like this, it's utter garbage. I would think so, too. But that's what they do on the left. We make a mistake, we say sorry, move on, or now just forget it. Or everybody does it. I just made a mistake, got called on camera by accident. That was the accident, not what he was doing, but he got called on camera. All right, we have more pressing things for our nation. Tonight, the final debate between Biden and Trump. And tomorrow we'll break it down for you. And I want to see tonight, will there be a question, if not a question, a challenge by Trump reference Biden in the Hunter Biden tapes as exposed by the New York Post article. We'll be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.